Hello, guys. Welcome back to another episode of your favorite tennis podcast, your favorite sport podcast, your favorite podcast of all time. I am your favorite host, Lucy, and then your second favorite host.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I'm
So just
joking.
ranking for the people. It's all good.
I'm joking. Just coming a little bit, you know, with him. Life's kicking our asses, so we have to, you know, bust some jokes. But I'm Lucy, guys.
And
we have
Eugene.
The boss. Eugene.
Don't know about the boss.
How are
but
you?
Yeah, I'm good.
How are
Lucy,
you,
man.
Eugene?
How are you?
I'm okay. Actually, I'm not okay, but I'm here talking with you. We're gonna talk about tennis, niggas in tennis, some jokes, hopefully, and you know that will make me feel better. So
we're gonna push through.
We're gonna push through.
I'm very happy to be here after this long Australian Open that you've just witnessed. But it's been fun though. I've enjoyed it.
I mean, I was gonna ask you, like, how are you rating this Australian Open?
Like I said in like the little write-up that I did, it's messed up the sleeping pattern horribly.
Oh my
but
gosh.
Like that is kind of standard, isn't it? Like that's to be expected, like with the Australian.
But it's crazy
time
how
zone.
We never get used to it. We always complain about the time difference. And it's like,
when
are we actually gonna get used to this? And you never
It's mad. Like, I don't know about you, but I didn't watch any of like the morning matches for us. So like the night sessions in Australia, I didn't watch any of those really, because I was sleeping during those times. So like that would have been around like 8 a.m. our time and onwards. But I did stay up for like the day sessions.
A lot of them I try to push through, and I watch like half of the first set and I'll just doze off.
Because you
especially
what time do you start work? You start work at 9 or 10?
I start work at 9. No, so, start work at 9, finish
so,
at 6.
So matches would have been playing, as in the night sessions would have been playing or would have been on whilst you were like just starting work. Whereas
it depends. Some of them though, yeah. Some of them, yeah, like because you work different hours. Yeah. So there were times where I was watching it like as I was working, but the problem is I kind of felt like a lot of the matches that I did want to watch, they put a lot of the niggas around 3-4 a.m. which I don't understand why.
Yeah.
So it was really annoying. So a lot of times, like, I feel like this Australian Open is actually the best effort I've made to actually stay up to watch matches.
Interesting.
Which is crazy because the Australian Open started around the time where I went back to work when I was off for like literally a month, so I really don't know how I did that. But
that extended break you had in Senegal.
Well, and I need another one because work is stressing a girl out. I came back, I was like, this is too ghetto. But like this Australian Open, I was sleeping. Listen, I normally don't nap. I don't know how to nap. I power nap. Like, I'm a light sleeper. But this Australian Open, my nigga, I was sleeping during the day. Like, the amount of naps I was catching.
In the eyes, in the
outside
afternoon.
Of working hours. No, outside of working hours, of course.
Disclaimer. Indeed.
Disclaimer.
Okay.
I'm talking about during the weekends, of course. But
so what, this was during the afternoon. You were just like having naps,
bro. During the afternoons, I was sleeping because it was just too much. It was actually just way too much. And the thing is that I've said this before. I don't know if I said it on the pod or like privately just to you, but like watching tennis as just a fan and then watching tennis as you have a platform is a whole different ball game, because you really need to focus and you really need to remember, so you can be like, oh yeah, shit, I need to make sure that, you know, we mentioned this and we mentioned that. So yeah, it's a whole different ball game. And the thing is with tennis, it's not like with football where you can just easily see the score and just get an idea, but like, you never know, you might see a score 6-4, 6-2. But you don't know. Maybe the one who lost had a match point, or like,
exactly,
do you get what I mean? Like, you don't know how it
exactly,
went up. Like, maybe they went up 5 games, and then
it doesn't tell
the
the full
opponent
story.
That's what I'm saying. So it's kind of like hard at times. Hence why sometimes when I really want to know how a match went, I'm just on Tennis Twitter and I'm like, yo, how did the match go? And then you get a full on proper detail, like, oh yeah, they were doing this, or like this what happened, or blah blah blah. So,
but before we kind of get into it, like in terms of the final, so. Let's start with women, actually. So Aryna Sabalenka shouts out her first Grand Slam.
Yeah, well deserved. Oh my gosh.
Beating Elena Rybakina, or Rybakina, Wimbledon champion. Again, I'm going to be honest. I didn't watch it, but I heard it was a very high quality match.
No, it was a high quality final. I think it was even, not I think, it was better than a men's final. 100%.
Three sets as well, wasn't it? So went distance.
Yes, three sets, went distance. It was really good because you had one who was like the top server and the other one who was like a top returner. So it was like really good and stuff.
Big hitters as well, both powerful
big
players.
Big hitters, powerful players. It was very focused. Like, it made me feel really good about like the WTA. But yeah, shout out to Sabalenka. She started really well this season. My girl has enough. Like, to me, I feel like this was long overdue. And you could tell that everyone else felt the same, because even the way everyone was congratulating her was like, oh, this was meant to be. Like, you deserved this. Like,
as in players.
As in players, yeah, and even WTA players, you know, despite the fact that they beef a lot, that you could tell that, you know, people were really rooting for her. And I'm really happy for her. I just hope that she just keeps it up. And yeah, same with what's the name again?
Rybakina.
Rybakina, yeah. She played really well. I actually thought she was going to win, to be honest. Mainly because, as much as Sabalenka is a great player, I feel like the reason why she hasn't reached to where she has now is because she didn't know how to handle the big matches, like the important matches. I think the very important ones, the one where she shouldn't lose or she can't afford to lose, she always did. And I feel like she's finally overworked that, and which makes sense, because she did do, like, on one of her press conferences, she did say that she got rid of a psychologist because she was like, listen, I actually need to work on this on my own, whatever I need to work on mentally. So you could tell that she had enough of, you know, not being where she should be. And yeah, like, I'm really happy. I was really happy with the women's side of stuff in terms of, like,
which we'll talk about in more detail. And then what about the men? Novak Djokovic, 10th Australian Open, 22 now, level with Rafa Nadal, beating Stefanos Tsitsipas in the final. Again, I didn't watch it, holding my hands up.
To be honest, you ain't missed. One of my friends, one of my friends was like, I was like, boy, I'm even upset that I wasted my Sunday waking up at 8 a.m. to watch.
Wow. I heard it was okay, though. I think Tsitsipas started quite nervy, like, at the start, and then the second and third set he warmed up, because I think it was 7-6, 7-6.
Yeah,
7-5, 7-6. So
yeah.
He extended it, but Novak was just too good in the end.
Do you know what? I think for me, I feel like I'm not even saying this more of a sister pass thing. I'm just saying it as when the Australian Open started, I knew he was going to win.
As in Novak.
Yeah. So it was like it was just too predicted for him to win. That it was like, you know, and then when I found out Tsitsipas win a final, I was like, oh yeah, I knew this final wasn't going to give. I really don't know why I woke up. You know, it's just tennis fan in me. But not saying Tsitsipas is a bad player. I think Tsitsipas is a great player. But I think over time he has shown that he struggles a little bit when it comes to, like, finals and stuff, especially Grand Slam finals. He has the potential. Like, he's reached semifinals at Grand Slams. He's reached finals and stuff. But when it comes to, you know, beating Novak, who had a different type of strength to win this, because everything that happened last year, which it's kind of annoying how people are talking about it like it was the maddest thing, as if like something tragic happened.
It was pretty crazy though, Lucy. The guy was
No. It was crazy. But like, he's saying it as if like someone got injured, or like, do you get what I mean?
But he was deported. When you ever hear an athlete being deported.
Okay. But then what did he say on that BBC interview? He said on the BBC interview, like, listen, I am ready to take the L if it means, like, if I'm not vaccinated and I cannot play. And I think that's my frustration with the whole Novak thing. It's more of a thing of like, you're complaining that this and this and that, but you said yourself you're happy to take the L, so take it. But like, it is what it is. He had a lot of issues with like the media and stuff this Australian Open. He kind of felt like he's been treated unfairly. But
did you see the stuff with his dad with the Russians. It was a bit mad.
I need you uncles to stop talking, right? I really need you. From Uncle Tony Nadal to Novak's dad. Like, just shut up. Like, stop talking. Like, first of all, tennis media, just stop giving a microphone to these people. Let's just stop right there. The things you know about that is that the way that I see it is, like, you're seeing your son getting cooked every day on the media, on social media, like, whether it's fans, whether it's, like, journalists, whatever it is. Why the fuck would you do that?
Unfortunate.
I don't get it, which is really unfortunate. Like, his own dad is even his op. Like, for what reason? Why would your dad be doing that? Why is your dad going on and saying these type of things? Like, it didn't make sense. It honestly did not make sense. And it's annoying because Novak got cooked.
To be honest, though, your dad didn't really say anything. It was more of, yeah, it was just unfortunate the way it played out. So basically, long story short, I'm sure everyone's aware, but yeah, Novak's dad was posing in a picture with fans. We're not sure if they're a Russian or, I mean, they had a Russian flag with Vladimir Putin's face on that flag.
On that flag.
And yeah, it looked, obviously we all know the conflict going on right now between Russia and Ukraine, this war, legal war anyway. Just not a good look. So it wasn't like Novak's
he
dad.
Didn't just take a picture. He also made a comment.
What did he say?
He was, oh shit, I forgot the comment exactly, but he basically said something like it was kind of like he was praising Putin as well.
I don't know about that, Lucy. I don't know about that. Because Novak,
allegedly.
Yeah, Novak came out and said that obviously, like, yeah, him and his family, they've lived through wars. Like, they know, like the turmoil war kind of does to families and people. So they don't support any kind of war or anything.
I get that, Eugene.
I'm not sure about that.
Okay, even if you didn't make the comment, I am so sorry. Even me, who's not a famous person, I know for a fact that doing something like that is a bit mad. As a normal person where nobody knows about. But if you're someone where you are the father of one of the biggest sport athletes, I'm not even talking about the biggest tennis athlete, we're talking about one of the biggest sports athletes, bro, what, like,
we're spending far too much time on this already, but like, yeah, don't you think though, like, it wasn't really, I just think he's getting a bit of a bad, what's the word,
who,
it's just unfortunate, Novak. As in Novak's dad, because I mean, it's not like he knew these guys were gonna like take out this flag. Do you get me? Like, I don't know how it all played out, but like, I know for a fact, I mean, if any sane person, if they see a flag with Putin's face on it, they're going to stay clear of that group.
And that is like, what you are thinking. That's not something I will underestimate, to be very honest. Like, I'm so sorry. There's so many, like, you need to think about Eugene as well. These people have been media trained, media controlled. They know what to do and what to not do. There's no way you've been in like the industry or like in the media and you're not that careful. And even if it's not him, I'm pretty sure there were people around him that are probably like, yo, are you clocking what's going on? Do you get what I mean? I'm more annoyed with the fact that Novak got cooked for it, because that's not fair on him. As much as I'm not a fan of Novak like that, like, fair is fair. It's not fair that he was getting cooked for it.
Yeah.
But all of that, I feel like, has given him even more of a push at the end of the day to win this slam. So I said with everything that happened last year, Novak's going to be on different smoke this year. If there is a final or a semi-final of him and Nadal this year at the French Open, my nigga, Nadal is getting cooked. Nadal is getting cooked, in my honest opinion. That nigga and his legs and his injuries, ciao, and the coke, and the, sorry, and the smoke that Novak has right now, he's a different energy. I honestly feel like this year he's going to be on different smoke, because he's like, all right, you guys fucked up my calendar year and then you fucked up my actual year last year. No.
up to number two now in the rankings as well.
Up to number two in the ranking, 22 Grand Slam. So shout out to him, innit? It is what it is.
Only one behind Serena now.
I do not care about what you are saying. They want to be her so bad. They want to be Serena so bad. Look at them chasing that 23. They want to be Serena so bad, but you're never going to be her.
Very, very mad. but yeah, let's get into Ben Shelton. For me, he was like the story of wealth. I'd say like, yeah, even from like a black spin, non-black spin global perspective, like Ben Shelton, he owned the Australian Open, I think, this year. Like
100%. Just kind of
bursting onto the scene. Obviously, this was his first trip outside of like the US ever, which is insane.
Crazy.
20-year-old American. And yeah, like he's just an exciting guy, like in terms of his play, I think his energy as well. Like it was really like refreshing to kind of see him on the court. And like, I think the fans really took to him as well. Like after matches, like all the kids, like obviously wanting pictures and autographs, and he's just the way he was interacting with them. I thought it was really, really cool. Like,
yeah,
like, I think he's someone that we kind of need like in the game because he's a different kind of character. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I just love watching every minute of his matches. Like,
yeah.
And again, it was tough to stay up for because, yeah, a few of them were.
A lot of his matches were during like 3, 4 a.m., yeah.
And also the night session. I think one of the night session matches was the Popperin match, and that one I struggled to stay up for.
Yeah, I think same as well.
He won that in straight sets, and obviously Popperin is an Australian, so like the crowd were very much for Popperin.
No, I watched that match. That match, and I have to say, Eugene, I don't know how Ben done it, because playing against an Australian,
exactly,
yo, it's like if he won a point, it was cricket. Cricket, you hit. That is it, like that or nothing. I'm not joking, and I was just like, oh my god, like how is he doing this? Like I don't know how. Like he lost this match, that match, did he? No, he won it.
Ben Shelton, that was the third round. He won in straight sets.
Yes, no, he won it in straight sets. Yeah, no, sorry, he won it. And I was honestly so, and you could tell that there was one set, I can't remember which set it was specifically, but it was one set where you could see he was really struggling. And the only reason why his opponent was actually getting fired up was because of the help of the crowd. Like, honestly speaking, like, that was what I'm thinking. But Ben was the one that doing it. And honestly, for someone who had his first full tournament in a whole different environment, I don't know how he pushed that through mentally. But seeing that just shows to you how great he's going to be moving forward.
Man,
if he can do all of that now, he's in good hands, honestly, because that was a very good match for him. Like the way that like he was doing well, and then it was going down, but it wasn't a thing where his opponent was doing the maddest thing or he couldn't hit his opponent back. So whenever it was like the way it was getting broken, he was breaking back. Like he was trying his best, but you could tell that he was trying to stay focused, and he did it. And I know it was so hard for him to stay focused because the crowd, my gosh. And I don't blame them because they're probably like, who the fuck is this Ben guy? You know, because he popped in, think about it. You know, he popped out of nowhere. So yeah, it's most, weird, like, who this nigga?
Yeah,
who these niggas?
Most people will probably be saying that. I hope you're not a nigga, but yeah. but now everyone's aware like who he is. Like they know.
Yeah.
And I put in the show notes that I was most impressed with the second round match he played against Nicolas Jarry of Chile, because it was
I think I missed that one.
Yeah, that was happened. That was like around 3 a.m. our time, but I stayed up for the duration of that. And what most impressed me, Lucy, was the fact it was like just so businesslike, like considering Jarry is a good player, like in terms of he's big, he serves well. Just a normal kind of, I say normal, he's a clay courter, but like he has game for like the hard courts as well. But Shelton just stayed so solid. And I was like, wow, he's just come through a 5-setter in the first round. He's now playing Jarry in the second round. And like, yeah, I think it was like 7-5, 7-6, 7-6. Like really like tough. Well, I say tough, it was straight sets, but three like long sets. For him to come through the way he did, I was like, yeah, this this kid's special. Like he's got something about him. And then obviously the third round, like you said, against Popperin, like to not only take on the player but also the crowd, which he acknowledged afterwards as well. He was like, oh yeah, the crowd are great. Like, which I thought again, just
It was really when he said that, I was really surprised. I was like, nigga, they were not clapping for you, but shout out to. But that just shows to you how much of a great vibe.
Yeah, because he enjoyed the fact that they created the atmosphere. He was like, oh, you guys created this atmosphere, which was really good to play.
He has a great personality. He's a great player, a strong player. Like the way he just hits,
big serving lefty.
Listen, it's really serious. So I'm honestly looking really forward to seeing him. Be like these Americans, you go.
They're taking over, man. It's good
they're
to see.
Taking over. We might celebrate 4th of July in London this year. Who knows?
And yeah, now he's like what he's. As things stand, he's number 44 in the world, like top 50, which that's is crazy considering he only turned pro, last summer, just before the US Open? Mm. So, like, the rise has been ridiculous. And he's only going to continue to get better. I think Popperin also said after that match that, if he continues to play like that, he's, like, top 20, easy.
Yeah.
Like, so, very, very happy and, like, excited for Ben Shelton and, like, all the success that's definitely pending for him. Thanks. Michael Moe as well. What another great story. Like, insane.
Crazy story. Matter of fact, how about we actually let the listeners hear the story itself?
Yeah,
coach. Exclusive. See, this is why we're the best podcast. We got exclusive from the coach itself. You guys?
Zach Evenden shouts out. Indeed.
Shout out to Zach for trusting us, for reaching out to us, from one brother to another. So here is the snippet from Zach himself, which is Mo's coach, also ex-coach of TFO and AE Baptiste. Explain us a story of how Mo's crazy run to the Australian Open.
Bro, so we waited around the first day of main draw, got nothing. So the next day, we warmed up early in the morning, went back to the hotel. As soon as we got back to the hotel, we're packing our bags up, looking for flights. He actually booked his flight. And then we get a call saying that, you're on next. And the match before us was 6-2 and 4-love or something like that. Or 6-2, 2-love. So we had to, rush straight to the site. Obviously prepare. Then obviously, we went on, no time to prepare, had to drop off rackets, all that. Texas stringers. Obviously, eat and get his mind right, calm his nerves, get him focused to go on. We go on, had chances to break early, don't get those. He gets his one chance, gets it. Then, everything kind of spirals from there. We're 2 sets to love down very quick. Third set, he starts fighting back. Laurent served for it at 5-4. We broke. We were 5-love up in the breaker. Rain delay, obviously one thing leads to another. Some bad luck goes our way. Laurent played some great points and just said, screw it, started treeing off. And it started working. Mo got a little tight because obviously we need it. Ends up being 6-all, rain delay, go inside, take ages to come out. Ended up coming back out after about 2.5 hours or something like that. Come back out, lose the first point. Match point down, Laurent double faults. Next point, very tight point, about 20 ball rally. Point after that, Mo serves an unreturnable. After that, the match kind of went... the match kind of, went in our way. It went in our favor. We were able to play a good match and we were able to stop at 3-1 up in the fifth. You know, after that, it was a pretty straightforward, you know, match. It ended up raining a little bit in that fifth set. We ended up stopping at 3-1 up, 30 all. Come back out today and, you know, had to wait pretty much a whole day to go back on court and finish up. Warmed up about four times. So the whole ordeal has pretty much lasted, you know, 36 hours. It's been crazy. It's been a crazy day and a half. Yeah, absolutely insane. And now that puts him at 89 or 90 in the rankings, which confirms a top 100. It's not a bluff top 100. You know, it's not a weak top 100. You know, he's earned this one. So this is awesome stuff. Awesome stuff. Very relieved, but also very excited for tomorrow, because it's a great opportunity. So looking forward to that.
Yeah, so as you just heard, that was Mo's run. Well, the first round match he played against Lauren Locolli, in crazy circumstances, rain delays, heat. There was a heat break as well because of the crazy like temperatures in Melbourne. So for him to kind of get through that in what 36 hours, I think it was in total, like insane.
Crazy.
And then yeah, he
Crazy.
followed that up with the biggest win of his life against Alexander Zverev in the second round. And I don't know about you, Lucy, but I had a feeling that he was going to beat him.
Same.
Like I
I
really did.
did.
I don't know why. I just thought, you know what, I just Zverev obviously is coming back from his injury as well, so like it was a good opportunity to kind of yeah play him, I guess, or good time to play him. But still, he still had to, you know, beat the guy, and he did in four sets. And then yeah, the third round it was against JJ Wolf, fellow American. Wolf then got handled by Shelton in the fourth round, which I loved. But yeah, Mo making that run to the third round. I think he said it was like, yeah, that's probably not probably that is his best run at a Grand Slam to date.
Oh
So
yeah, 100%.
very like successful, well, outing considering he was literally what hours away from flying home
Can you
without playing your
imagine?
first round match.
Can you actually
So,
imagine?
and I also I loved when Zach also said, oh, like basically the ranking now is top 100. So I think he's 83, I want to say,
Yeah,
and
83.
that's a career high as well. And Zach was like, oh yeah, it's not a bluff top 100. That's a it's like a he's worked hard for it, and it's
Yeah,
true. Like
hundred
he really
percent.
has.
Yeah,
He's been putting in a
yeah,
lot of work.
yeah,
So
yeah, yeah, yeah.
really excited to see Mo this year, and I think yeah we'll be seeing a lot more of him like on the ATP tour, which is great. So yeah, fantastic. Francis Tiafoe now. Oh, where to start with Francis? I
First of all, let's start with the kit.
mean the fit, let's go,
Let's start with the fit. You
let's
people with
go.
no style that tried to come for Tiafoe's fit. First of all, you guys ain't got no drip.
He pulled it
That's
off.
he pulled he
Yeah.
that's what I was really surprised. I was like, what are you guys talking about? Like, he really pulled it off. Like, it was really nice, you know. And it's not even just that. I feel like if anyone else wore that, I'd have been like, what the fuck are those? What are you doing? Like, what are you doing? Only Tiafoe was literally able to pull that off. So yeah, shout out to him. Shout out to his girl defending him. Like, she was like, I don't know what you guys are talking about. I was
I
like, yeah, I
am
am.
indeed.
I don't know what you guys are.
Indeed.
I don't know what they're talking about either.
But to be
Like, for
fair,
real.
she said she like kind of encouraged him. She was like, oh yeah, like it was she picked it, or she
See,
helped
this
pick
is why
the
in this life you need a black woman. Period. Period. You see how they just make your life better. Like, you see how it's everybody was talking about Tiafoe's kit. Like, hello.
So like she was the chief
Which we
encourager, so
rarely
like
get in the ATP. Like, we always get like more like them to, oh, she wore this or like wore that. So I really like the fact that, you know, and you can see like the exposure that Tiafoe is getting even more and more. And
yeah,
honestly, Eugene, is so refreshing because I've
even the
been,
kicks as well. So his kicks on Naomi Osaka kicks,
yeah, the
which
Nova
again I
Osaka
love.
kicks,
yeah
you know, the
yeah
Calvin Klein ad that he's, that I think is that part of the campaign. You know, like, he's really like, you could see that. Oh shoot, what's her name again? Salva J, Serena's agent.
oh, Jill.
Jill, you can see that Jill's been trying to get my bro paid. So shout out to Jill. Shout out to Jill. But like, honestly speaking, like, even when he was playing during the Australian Open, like, You could tell that fans are more excited to watch him play. It
Oh,
just
big
shows to
time.
you how much more entertaining is. Like the crowd goes even cr like now when you say Tiafoe, people are ready to watch him. Do you get what I mean? So
He's
it's
now an established top 20 player. Like, yeah.
yeah,
So,
honestly,
yeah.
and it's such a great feeling because we basically watched him like
I know
grow.
the rise.
Like
I
it's
know.
honestly
I
like
know.
he's just like damn, like that's Tiafoe now,
That's bro. That's
that's bro. Like honestly, it's so dope to see, like, and it hit me so much when I was watching his matches this Australia Open. I was like, bro, like this is really happening. Like this is really this is him. He's that guy. So yeah, he had like a he had a great run. I think the second round it was like straight sets that he won, right?
Yeah, so that was against I hope I'm saying his name right. So Chung Cheng Shang,
Yes.
Chinese 17-year-old, really like talented player. Like he came through qualifying. So and then got a big win in the first round. I forgot who he played. Who did he play in the first round? He played a German, Oscar Otter, in the
Okay.
first
Oh,
round. I think
wow.
he came through
Okay.
that in five sets as well. So good win for Shang. And then yeah, the second round against TFO. Like TFO, I've said here, like respectfully sunned him, like in terms of TFO is 20, what's 25 now, or turned 25 in Australia, but the older player. And just yeah, he looked in every sense like stronger, and just he just knew like I don't want to say the occasion got to Shang, because that's not really fair, but TFO just did what he had to do basically, and it was a comfortable straight sets win. And at the end as well, at the net, I did like they kind of exchanged, like TFO like said some like words, like said some nice things to him at the end, which I do like seeing, like when players, like especially when they're playing someone younger, like that respect, because he was like, yeah, the guy's talented. He's like, yeah, he's gonna be a problem, and you can kind of see that. So
I'm gonna
yeah,
check it out.
TFO, but then he did lose in the third round to Karen Khachanov, the Russian. Like he's so annoying, because like with Khachanov, I think he lost to Khachanov at Wimbledon as well last year.
Hence why when I saw Tiafoe's draw, I literally said to myself, he's the only threat.
Really?
Like I'm not in, not that I had a feeling that match was going to be rocky, and we were so
Interesting.
close.
I know,
We were
four
so
sets.
close. We were so
I think he served for the fourth set as well. Like
he
he had
did.
set points.
Yeah, so it was, I think it was even like a tie break, if I remember
Yeah, it was in a
correctly.
tiebreak. It was like
It was a
5-1 up
tie.
in a tiebreak or something. Yeah.
Yep. And then I was just like, I don't know. I don't know if it was like the nerves were coming or who's thinking like so much or stuff, but if we hit one big serve, we were like
I
gone. And I
know. I
honestly feel like
know.
if he bagged that, we would have won the match. And I think he had definitely gone through like the second because he was looking so great. The first two
Yeah.
matches, it was like boom, boom, boom. But when I clocked that he was gonna get catching up, I was like, guys, I'm not gonna lie, this one's really
The thing with
low.
Khachanov though as well, like he, and I think he does deserve a bit more credit. Like he shows up like at Grand Slams.
Oh
Like
yeah. That
he
and I think that is why people kind of sleep on him. It's like yeah, he's not like really out there in the other type. But when it comes to Grand Slams, how come my guy is always making it through like the fucking second week of the Grand
So
Slams?
US Open, he was a
Like
semi-finalist, wasn't he, last year at US Open?
I think so. It was something
Yes,
like
he was
that.
a
That's what I'm
semi-finalist.
saying. Like I don't know how he does it, but he does it. I don't know if it's a thing where during Grand Slams that like he has some different type of smoke,
Just
but he
clicks.
does. But hence why when I saw it, a lot of people underestimate, but when I was looking at it, I was like, bro, I think this is gonna be a rocky match still.
Yeah.
And I was right, but we were so close. But for us to be that close, I feel like the next match, I think he will probably know what to do
Yeah,
to like fully beat him.
it was tough as well, because obviously that was it was TFO's birthday, like, so I
Oh
mean,
yeah,
it's
true.
never ideal, like losing on your birthday, but yeah,
Right.
I'd love to kind of hear, or like, yeah, kind of get a sense of like, yeah, what that feels like in order, like, because that's probably not probably, it is the fourth time he's played the Australian Open on his birthday. Because he did, I remember it was against Grigor Dimitrov before we started the platform. That's where he kind of made a breakthrough. I think he got to the fourth round that year, and he got that win against Dimitrov on his birthday. So he's like, oh yeah, like this is a great way, obviously, to celebrate my birthday as well, and like, yeah, to reach as far in a Grand Slam, like mad. But Yeah, Khachanov is someone he's never beaten, which I think he'll put right soon. Like, I have faith. I have
Definitely,
faith. So,
because like I said, he was so close this time. So it's not like a
yeah.
thing where he was like proper far off. He was extremely close. I think it
I'm
was just
just I'm
probably
just
like
looking at
the
I'm
nerves.
just looking at their head to head. It wasn't Wimbledon last year. It was Wimbledon in 2021. That was where,
Right.
yeah, Khachanov beat him in straight sets. And then he also beat him at Wimbledon in 2018, and that was a 5-set match.
Oh, see.
So, like, yeah, it happens. But no, with TFO, man, I think, yeah, things are both. I'm excited about his season. Like, I think titles
Same,
are
same.
there's a few titles on his name or with his name on them in 2023. So,
100%.
but yeah, I think he brought a lot of like excitement as he always does now, like at these slams, not just because of, you know, his play, but yeah, look what he was wearing, and like people are starting to respect the fact that the game is now backing up the name, like now. Like it's not just, oh yeah, TFO, like the nice guy. Like he's actually
Yeah,
beating like some of these
exactly.
top
Or like
guys.
the guy who's like entertaining or like
Exactly,
blah blah
yeah.
blah. And it's like, bro, like I talk about his tennis though,
Real talk.
it is something.
Exactly. We'll talk. So yeah, and he's also now a career high number 15 in the world,
Whoop whoop.
so creeping up, like top 10 pending. It's coming. It's coming.
Amen.
It's
Amen.
coming. Felix Auger-Aliassime now, I think we need to speak about him before we get into the Australian Open. Have you watched Breakpoint?
I have. So, spoiler alert, guys.
Great
Spoiler
shout.
alert. If you haven't watched it, just kind of skip it for the next couple of minutes.
Check back
Yes,
in
I have watched
soon.
it. I've watched it. Have you watched it?
I have. I don't want to talk about the whole documentary. I just want to talk about Felix's episode.
Because that is the most important episode, to be very honest with
Okay,
you. To be
good.
very honest with you, it's the most important episode because Eugene Allen.
Telling my
Eugene.
government name. Oh, okay. Go on.
Eugene. That episode, to me, first of all, my favorite episodes were the last two episodes, Ons Jabeur one and Felix's one. I feel like it was a little bit more intense. The Felix one, the reason why it hit me is because all I could think was, if Tony Nadal was a real nigger and he kept it to Virgil's, Felix would have beaten Nadal that match.
Do you really think so?
Eugene, the math is mathing. The only match where Nadal struggled was with bloody Felix.
Taken so far,
He
yeah.
took him to five fucking sets. I mean, Nadal was rattled that day. He was even getting pissed off. Like, bro, why am I still playing? Why am I not beating this guy? Felix was doing his bloody job. Tony even left in the middle of the match because he couldn't even handle it anymore. But the surprising thing was finding out that Felix and his team basically already agreed on that, hey, if me and Nadal are playing against each other,
That I
you
don't
know,
know,
it's really.
for me that did seem a bit like after the fact. I'm sorry. Like, do you get
You don't
me?
think
I,
that was
yeah,
handled before?
I think that Felix probably expected Nadal or Tony Nadal to be. I'm just gonna, yeah, I think he expected him to be in the box. I'm sorry, as in his box. He's paying him. Like, I'm sorry. And I said this before
Wait, sorry,
when
you mean what you think Felix expecting a Tony to be
Tony
in his one?
to be in his box, as in
Who
with
wouldn't expect that? That's what
because
I'm
Lucy, that's what I'm
saying.
saying. He's paying him. So I understand the family loyalty and all that stuff, but like,
This is
yeah.
what I'm that's what I'm saying. I feel like Tony was is being slightly not even slightly, to me, in my honest opinion, shout out to Tony. You're the, you know, you're great and all. Shout out to you and your nephew. But in my honest opinion, it's I feel like you can't decide to do this if you feel like you can't do your job fully because of your blood.
Yeah, it's
And
tough.
where's this greediness coming from? My guy's on 22 fucking slams. If Felix was on like 20 slams or he was like near to what Nadal was thinking, I could actually even understand a little bit. But like, yo, we're talking about a new gen. Your nephew is his time is running. His legs are crying for fucking help. My guy should not even be here. He needs to go and take care of his child and his wife. But he's a very competitive person, which is why we love him and we respect him in this sport. But let's be for real, bro. Like, I don't know. It was when I watched it, I was the thing is, it's funny because we knew this already. We knew that, you know, with him not being in Fingy's box and Felix's box, it was like, all right, okay. But seeing it in 4K
I
and
know.
seeing how he was moving,
Yeah.
it and
Do you know what was really
I
mad for
actually
me?
paused. I paused the documentary. I was like, you're taking a piss. I was like, Tony, you're taking a fucking piss.
Was mad when what match was it? I think it was the match he won. So the match he won, I think it was the third round match that he won, and then he knew he was going to be playing Nadal after. And then Tony, I think Felix was like having his warm down on the bike, and then Tony like comes up behind him and like pats him on the back saying, "Oh yeah, good match." And then Felix is like, "Oh yeah, obviously I've got Nadal next. Like, will you be saying the same thing then?" Like, or no, because he kind
Channel,
of
yeah.
knew, like, basically from there it was gonna be awkward, basically. Do you get me? So I was like, wow, this is crazy, like seeing this, like in terms of the behind the scenes, because we'd never seen that, and that was
We
what
never seen
Netflix
it.
kind of brought to the table. So it
And
was
that
very
is and that
entertaining.
it was insane. And that's why I feel like honestly, that episode and the Jabir was more of a sentimental thing and you
Yeah,
know
with the family and all
how
that.
the family and how
Yeah.
like you know no one believed in her because she didn't pick you know she didn't go to the white people to go and build up her team. She stayed with her people and man, shout out to her husband first of all as well, for a man and a Muslim man as well. This is what people don't understand, like it's very rare to really see that. Like it was really great seeing it. And she's doing it, she's making it to
Yeah.
slam finals, you know, she's winning titles
Yeah,
and
that's a great point. I
that's the
do love
thing.
that about Jabor as
So
well. Like you said, the
yeah,
team is African.
oh,
Like,
it's
yeah.
all African and it's the people that she knows. And she was like, I believed in this, and why everyone was laughing at me. So that is why her episode and also the madness from the Nadals got honestly just made entertaining. Another thing about this, not even Tony, this was actually Rafael Nadal. Do you see the bit where he was warming up in next to Ruud?
I swear I texted you about that. I swear I messaged you.
Yo,
I felt so sorry for Rude. Like,
Eugene, I was laughing out loud. Like I was like, no. Do you know what's the
yeah.
funniest thing about that clip as well? Is that Nadal literally he picked up his bag and then he was like, nah, let me put it down and just warm up. Like he knew what he was doing. This is what I'm saying. This is why Nadal, yeah. I'm sorry, but you have to love him. It just shows to you how competitive this guy is. He was like, let me rattle. Like,
They
Ruud was
ain't built like
through.
that no more,
They
man.
didn't
They
feel
ain't
like
built
that no
they ain't built
more.
like
They not
that.
feel like, and I feel like this is the difference between like the old gen and this new gen, is that
Yeah.
they're not built like that no more. Like, he was, and Ruud looked so uncomfortable. He was just like,
I felt
hold on
really sorry
a
for him,
second.
like,
Like, it's
yeah.
like he didn't even know where to look. Like, Nadal didn't even have the space to be jumping and running. Like, that was so unnecessary. The amount of time I went back to watch that clip, yeah, I could not stop laughing. I was like, come on, man. But honestly, shout out to Breakpoint. Shout out to
Yeah.
producers. I don't care what these tennis journalists got to say about it, that spoke negative about it. I don't really care about the normal fans chatting shit about it. In my honest opinion, I think it was a good documentary for those who are, you know, who are the target viewers, those who are casual fans or those who don't watch it. And I was right because when I was actually going through the comments on Twitter, people who are not like normal fans all said that they loved it. The negative
Yeah.
tweets only came from those who are proper fans. But when I was reading more, the ones that know, they're all like, I really liked it, really entertaining, blah, blah, blah. Obviously, it's not the same for us. But I think the second part is going to be way more
Yeah.
entertaining and stuff. Because from the trailer, it looked like it was looking good. So yeah, but honestly, I enjoyed it. I think I would have switched some players or maybe add other
You
players or
did say
something.
before,
I did
yeah.
say it.
I think, yeah, but... well, I think we can talk. I say we should have more of an in-depth discussion about it, like after the second
second one, yeah.
Season, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Which well, is what later did you on think? This what year. Did you think of the first one quickly though?
Yeah, no, I enjoyed it. Like you said, like in terms of kind of knew what to expect, really and truly. But,
exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Because it's tennis, like I'm interested in tennis, like I was always gonna watch it. And 100%. I was definitely entertained and like informed mm-hmm. as well, because as much as I know a lot about the sport already, like I don't know, or we don't know what goes on behind the scenes. So it was kind of nice to get that look, basically. With all the teams and like the coaches as well, and, like the interactions. Like I just found it quite fascinating. Like you said, I agree. Like I did like the Ons Jabeur and obviously Felix's episode the best. I also liked Sakari too. I thought Sakari was quite interesting.
Sakari one was good.
Paula Badosa,
who was really, she was really open about her mental. I didn't
exactly.
I kind of forgot like the whole mental health thing and stuff. So like.
So yeah, overall, yeah, I thought very, very good. But yeah, just the Felix stuff was incredible with Uncle Tony. Yeah. But back to Felix in Australia, like, yeah, he got to the fourth round, so the second week, which is, you know, that's good. But he even admitted, I think after the fourth round match, he lost to Jiří Lehecka of the Czech Republic. He said, yeah, like this Grand Slam hasn't been good for him in terms of like he hasn't played his best tennis. Like he struggled in every single match.
It was rocking, yeah. And you could see it. And I'm not going to lie, not like in a bad way. I find it really impressive that the fact that it was so difficult, yet he made it all the way to the fourth
exactly.
round.
Exactly, yeah.
It like nearly all of his matches were five sets.
Four or five sets. Exactly,
sets. But to be honest, remember we spoke about it on our
were
last
four?
Pod.
Were they five or were they five? Four.
Bro, his first match. No, I'm pretty sure his first match was a five set team. And what's mad is
against Pospisil. Yeah, I think that was four. It was four sets, Lucy.
Oh, it was four sets.
Yeah.
And what's
I
mad?
Think the five set match was the second round, I think. Just gonna get that up, just so we're clear. Activity.
But the thing is, wait, hold on. No, so his second round was
yeah,
okay, so
second
the first
round was five
fourth.
Set. Exactly,
second
and then
was
the rest
five,
are four sets.
And then the rest were fourth. But I actually think it was kind of the same last year as well. So let me
yeah, there was struggles.
We spoke about it.
Because I'm not gonna lie to you, I thought he would lose that match to Molcan in the second round because like it was two sets to love down. I was like, wow, this is it. But he came back and he came back pretty strongly. Again, obviously,
last Australian Open, he only had one straight test match, which was one with Dan Evans. His first one was five rounds, second round, fourth round, third round of straight sets, fourth, four, and then quarterfinals where he lost to the finalist in five to Medvedev. So I think maybe you never know. Maybe it's actually a pattern where maybe at the start of the season is a little bit harder for him to grapple.
I think most players do find it like tough, like in general, like the start of the year, like the first Grand Slam.
I feel like that's why I'm not a huge fan of Australian Open.
But then, go on, sorry.
Because it's literally just because of what you said. It's like it's kind of like rocky and like. It's kind of like all over the place, and
because I
time
I just
difference
think
doesn't fucking help either.
Of course, I just think with the men anyway, like it is difficult because I mean, Novak won it this year, Nadal won it the year before. Then it was Novak, what, three in a row? Like, so it's always kind of been Novak, Nadal, I think Federer as well. I don't think we've had. Well, we haven't had.
Yeah, Federer won it
anyway. I can't remember the year, but we haven't had anyone outside the big three win it, basically.
Yeah.
So, and I think there is reason for that. And yeah, like it's just, it's like they've almost got like a, I don't know, like they own that Grand Slam. I say they, Novak really does.
Wait, you know what? I even forgot. Like, it's true.
I don't think it's like a massive shock.
With other slams at least we got a little bit, you know, like different stuff. I mean,
variation.
We got Alcaraz last year, we had Medvedev,
the French Open is kind of similar for Nadal kind of owns the French Open, but I think that will change this year, like, and we'll talk more about that like later on, like, in terms of later on in the year.
Oh, yeah,
but...
yeah. I'm telling you already, Novak is winning that French Open.
Oh, really? You think Novak?
You people don't understand.
I mean,
I think Novak's going to aim for his calendar year this year, and I think he's going to get it. Because he lost an entire season. Novak is on smoke right now. He's like, all right, fuck the media that's out here hassling me every day. And on top of that, I can actually get his calendar slammed. I generally feel like Novak is going to be in a different smoke this year, honestly speaking. Because think about it as well. This year, he was injured a little bit at the beginning of this thing. Novak, and then that final, he didn't play anywhere of his net. He didn't play his best tennis. Like, he didn't do anything like crazy this Grand Slam.
I didn't watch many of his matches, but I did. I think the match against Alex de Minaur, that was the match he played like just lights out. People are saying, oh my God, like if he plays like that, no one can beat him. And I think that was the third round or fourth round.
But that was that only round. I'm talking about Novak being on job for like first round.
But then to then beat Tsitsipas in straight sets in a final, like it's pretty impressive. So
that's what I'm saying. But he didn't even like play like crazy. It's definitely so good. And that goes back to my point. As I'm saying, like if he's not even playing 100% and he's doing that, I feel like Novak's going to be the biggest threat this year. Like ATP to wake their asses up.
Back to Felix though, quickly. Like. And obviously, everybody probably saw the whole Netflix curse thing. So he was the last man standing, like, which I thought was quite funny. Because obviously, like, we had Casper Ruud go out early, Taylor Fritz. Who else was there?
Sakari. On the men's side. The men's side.
That's it.
I mean,
obviously,
Nick, but Nick didn't even play. He had like a whole surgery.
Yeah, which is mad. But, I mean, there was a bit of significance to that. And I think, like you said with Felix, like for him to get through to the fourth round, not playing his best tennis, like it's not bad.
It's
like,
kind of mad. I'm not going like, to lie. It's kind of mad.
And Lehecka too. Lehecka's a good player. Like that's someone that's going to be, he's going to be like top 30 very soon. I think he's top 50 at the moment or top 60. So he's a player that we're definitely going to be seeing a lot more of. So it's like no shame to lose to a player like that. But yeah, I think... Excited to see Felix, obviously, this year. Let's get on to the women now. So, Coco Gauff, again, reached the second week. Fourth round for her.
Yes.
I liked a lot of her matches, actually. So, she won every single match in straight sets up until that defeat to Yelena Ostapenko in the fourth round. And, again, another thing that was quite significant for me, and she also kind of referenced it, in her first round, after her first round match against Katerina Siniakova, she spoke about how like it was an honor for her to open on Rod Laver. Like she opened up Rod Laver Arena, which is like a big deal. So, and yeah, she was a seventh seed. Obviously, she's not a Grand Slam winner yet. Saying yet, don't want to put pressure on the girl, but it's inevitable.
We're speaking in existence right
we'll
now.
We'll talk. But I just love how she was like aware of that and also acknowledged it. And like it's a big look for like the Australian Open to give her that honor, like to open play on Rod Laver. Like, and she played, I want to say three of her matches were played on Rod Laver, which again is a sign of like, the respect.
And then the last one was Margaret Court.
Margaret Court, yeah. People don't like to reference, but anyway.
I was hesitating to say her name.
But I mean, listen, it is what it is. So, but yeah, with Coco, like, I don't know, is there much to really say, like, in terms of, like, about her game? Like, she's improved a lot, I think. And she also said that she feels like she's improved.
Yeah. I mean, everything that we said on the last pod with Miles, shout out to Miles.
Definitely.
You could see it on the Australian Open. Her serve improved. Her forehand improved. There were times where it was a little bit rocky. But it was, I mean, it's baby steps. Like, it's not like overnight you're going to get
She's
it, right?
18 years old, man. Like, let's
She's
just remember 18 that.
Years old. And yeah, no, like she looked comfortable. She looked confident. I watched a match with Ostapenko. I'm not going to lie.
Before we get into Ostapenko, and please don't forget what you're going to say, we have to talk about the Raducanu match. Because that was like hyped.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Oh, yeah, that was hyped super
to the max.
Hyped. It
which
was
I
hyped.
Which I did like as well, because it was like, wow, this could be a rivalry. Like,
And she even acknowledged it at the end of the match. She was like, yeah, you know, everyone was waiting on this, and you know, glad that we could put out a match and stuff. You could tell that Coco brought out a little bit more vim and power from like Emma and stuff. But yeah, Coco was like going like through it. There were times where it was a bit close,
It
but
was
you
straight. It was
know,
straight sets, though, wasn't it?
straight sets. The last set was a tie break. But it just showed you how it was like a little bit like, you know, but it was you. Coco was leading like the match. The second set, it got a little bit rocky, but then she built that back up, which is unsurprising. Like, you know, Coco has started her season well. She's more prepared. She's been working way hard. Like a lot of hard, I'm not in a bad way of like putting Emma down. It's more of like, you know, with Emma with like the injuries and coach changes and also the pressure that she's been getting as
Which
well.
Coco
Like,
did acknowledge as well, like in like
yeah,
a
of
column for
course, because
BBC, which
she's,
I loved.
yeah, because you know these young girls are getting a lot of pressure, but Emma's been like a whole different ball game because first of all, the British tabloids are not the easiest people to deal with.
Yeah, they're winning a
And
Grand Slam, like, yeah.
yeah, and they're forgetting like this is whole new to her. Like, do you get what I mean? So it was a good match. It was a good match. I wish it was a free setter to get a little bit more. But I'm looking forward to seeing more of Emma this year as well. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I feel like she needs to play against a player like Coco to bring out like more of like her skill because she's still talented. So
Yeah,
yeah.
it's a great shout. You're going to say something about the Ostapenko match before I cut you.
Yeah, the
Sorry.
Ostapenko match, I'm not gonna lie, bro. It wasn't like I knew it was gonna be a little bit tough, but I don't. Where's that smoke from? Like,
I
do you know
know.
what it is?
Ostapenko is a funny player. Go on.
No, do you know what? It was my fault. I forgot the amount of strength and the
Yeah, she's a
incredible
powerful
player
girl. Yeah.
that Ostapenko is. Like, I genuinely forgot, but like the way she was playing, it was just like it was getting. I think it was then getting into Coco's head.
Definitely.
And I feel like once you get into Coco's head, that is when you can easily just, you know, just yeah. So honestly, it was starting off well. Like, Coco was actually starting off really well. And then Elena just started hitting like mad. I was just like, bro,
Yeah.
like relax. Like,
I
hey, we get it. We get that
yeah.
you're good, but damn, like, no, she's honestly shout out to Elena. Like, like you said, she's a character. She's a wonderful player as well. Like, yeah, like she was hitting like crazy, and I haven't watched her matches in a while, so I actually did forget how powerful she is.
Yeah, I for me it was interesting because yeah, like you said, they both started fairly like well. Although I did
Yeah.
think Ostapenko was holding a lot easier than Goff. So Goff, a lot of her matches are going to juice, or her a lot of her game, her service games are going to juice. Whereas
Yes,
Ostapenko was just serving out like 40,
yep.
15, 40.
Boom,
Some
boom,
even
boom, boom,
love
boom.
service games. Like,
Yep,
and I thought,
yep.
wow, she's definitely the more comfortable at the moment. And I did think,
Exactly.
okay. Is this a nerve thing for Coco, or is it just the matchup isn't great?
I think once that was starting, that's when it started getting more into Coco's head, and it was just like,
Yeah.
fuck, like this is too much. And then,
But I think it was more of a matchup thing. So like Ostapenko is, she's powerful, and like there aren't that many girls out there that have her power. I'm gonna just say it. Like, so obviously you've got Sabalenka, you've got Rybakina now as well. Azarenka's quite powerful. Keys is another one. Like, there aren't that many, a lot of the girls on the tour, like, they're just, obviously, they're solid, but they don't have, like, the power game that like those four I've just mentioned. And Ostapenko, she's there as well. Goff, she's going to develop that over time. And I think
That's
she kind of
true.
did allude to that in her post-match press. She was, like, basically saying, oh, like, yeah, a lot of girls can't really, like, hit her off the court. So it was, like, yeah, that was something new for her to experience in like playing against Ostapenko. And again, people, it's a cliche thing, isn't it? People say in sport, oh, you learn a lot from a loss or a defeat. But yeah, I think Coco will learn a lot from that match. And also, yeah, I think Ostapenko just played like ridiculously well. Like
Yeah, bro,
she
can't
played
even
a very,
lie.
very good match. So not too many complaints really from my perspective. But I am looking forward to seeing, yeah, Goff again. Like you said, she's already won a title this year, and like she's in good form, and the improvements are clearly
And
there for us
also
all to see.
she made it all the way to the semi-finals. doubles with Pegula.
It's a great shout. Yeah, it, women's
So
doubles. They're the
yeah.
second seeds. So,
Yeah, the second seeds, they won,
yeah.
they lost like the Japanese players who then even lost also to the
Runners
finals.
up in the end.
Yo, them that what's the name again? That Czech Republic girl.
Kachigova
Bro, they're
and
picking up them double
Siniakova.
titles. Shout out to them
I
still. But
know.
like it's like, damn, let my
It's
girl win a little something in the
yeah.
Grand Slam.
Like,
Like, is that
share, damn.
like yeah, like when I saw it on Twitter, I was like, again, like
No,
what's going on? But like, yeah, shout out to them, man. They've been killing it. Like they've
they're
been
doing.
collecting orders. And the things with her, she already has a single slam and then collecting the double slam. So it's like, you know, it's really, really dope to see. And
She's
again,
another
like
character too. Because she did you see she was watching the final, as in the women's final. She was like in the
yeah, she
crowd.
was. Yeah. Which
Just like,
is really dope to see.
very
I'm not gonna
rare.
lie,
Like, yeah.
really rare, and was really dope to see as well. So yeah, shout out to her and shout out to them. Like shout out to the doubles players, man, for real.
Indeed, indeed. Madison Keys now. So she reached the third round. I didn't watch much of Madison Keys' matches, I'm not gonna lie to you. So she lost to the
I know
two-time champion.
I watched one match, but I couldn't remember which one, I'm not gonna lie. But I did
So
watch one
the
of her
I want
matches.
to say her first round match was a three setter against.
Maybe I even watched the Azarenka one. I
Yeah,
think
it
I
probably
watched the
did.
Azarenka one and then I fell asleep.
Yeah, because that was happening at a silly time. But yeah, she
Yeah,
lost to Azarenka.
yeah.
Obviously, Azarenka is a two-time Australian Open champion.
Who also made
Keys.
it all the way to like the semi
Semi-finals,
finals.
exactly.
Shout out to
Semis.
Azarenka.
Indeed.
I was rooting for her. Like I really want to see more of the mums coming back and doing it. Like I'm not gonna lie, I did not expect us to go that far. So shout out to her.
But yeah, Keys, I mean, yeah, third round, she reached the semi-finals last year, so she had a lot of points to defend, obviously, from last year. But yeah, she came into the Australian Open, like we said in the previous pod, unbeaten in the season, obviously winning the United Cup with the United States.
Yeah.
But I'm not, again, I'm not taking too much away, like in terms of I'm not reading too much into like the results. Obviously, it's never nice to lose, but yeah, she won the first set against Azarenka and then lost the next two. So I guess you can kind of take a bit of like solace from that. But yeah, I think she's in a good place, I want to say. And I also heard that she moved house during the off season, which is very relatable. He says from his temporary accommodation. But yeah, that for me again, like moving house is stressful, Lucy. Let me just say, like, it's very stressful. So for her to kind of like start the season the way she did, considering she just literally moved house, like, shouts out to Keys, man. I'm sorry. I just have to put that in there.
The reason why I'm laughing is because of how you're relating so much to
It's
this.
very relatable. Yeah.
No, but you're
Very,
right.
very
No, moving is long, man. Moving
relatable.
is long, is long.
So yeah, shouts out to Keys, and you look forward to seeing her. I think she'll be playing Dubai next. So yeah, look forward to that. And lastly, before we wrap up, I want to shout out Rana Akua-Stoiber. And I'm not sure if it's Akua or Akia. Akia.
I think it's Akua.
Because the
Is it
Ghanaian,
Ghanaian?
yeah, the Ghanaian pronunciation, I think it is Akia.
Akria.
I think.
I honestly
But
don't
anyway,
know.
she's
I
British
can only help you with
with Ghanaian heritage. So shouts out to Rona or Rana.
it. Oh God. Oh
So she made the semi-finals in the girls' competition, and that was her first Grand Slam semi-final. And I watched most of her matches actually from the third round and beyond. So because they started at like 2 a.m. our time, so it was like great timing for me. And yeah, I just think she's a solid player, man. She's 17 years old. I'm not sure how tall she is. But she does look quite tall, like compared to like a lot of the girls that she was playing against. Has a big serve, like she's got a massive first serve, and like yeah, she wins a lot of easy free points off that first serve. So obviously she's going to keep c continue to develop, and it's just a name to kind of look out for. And I think yeah, she's obviously we follow her on the platform and stuff, and yeah, she follows us as well. So hopefully that's someone we can speak to in the near future.
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah, a name to look out for, and I'm sure everyone's pretty much aware of her because we've been posting her like quite a bit as well. So Yeah, shouts out to Stoibo. And yeah, that wraps up the Australian Open, Lucy, unless there's anything else you want to say about it.
No, bye, Australian Open. Thank you very much. I can
On to
finally catch
the
my sleep. On to the next. See y'all next year.
how good was it though as well, like on Sunday, like when, for me anyway, I was like, wow, like I've got nothing to stay up for now, like this is actually, I'm actually
Bro,
happy,
like,
like.
I'm not gonna lie, I was so happy getting my sleep back. Like, I'm never gonna get over the Australian Open time. Like, it's just ridiculous. Like, midnight, like, let's be for real.
It's
So
crazy.
honestly, it's just we're slowly getting back to the European things, you know, for a little moment, and then we're going to America. I can do with that. Then we're back
Indeed.
again to Europe for a little of longer time. So
Well, yeah.
yeah, honestly, thank you for your time, Australia. Bye bye.
It's been fun.
It's been
But
fun.
before we wrap up, I want to shout out Mikkel Immer. So he reached the Challenger final in Belgium.
Yes.
So Immer lost in the first round in Australia to Nishioka, I want to say, and that was a straight sets defeat. And then, yeah, literally flew to Belgium to play this Challenger like the next week. I think he had to play qualifying too. So considering he's a top 100 player, I think because he was a late entry, played qualifying in this event,
Wow.
then reached the final, lost to the Goffin, David Goffin in the final, which again is no, like Goffin is a top player. But yeah, Immer is also now at a career high, so he's 60 in the world, which is pretty good. So look forward to seeing Mikkel Immer more this season. Also want to shout out Arthur Fils, the French kid from France, obviously. So he reached his second challenger final in France, after winning his first challenger in Portugal earlier in the year. But yeah, Fils lost to compatriot Grégoire Barrère, if I'm saying his name correctly. And yeah, Fils is also now at career high 164, so he's creeping up the rankings. He's probably going to make top 100, possibly end of the
Yeah,
year, like if he keeps
most
going the way
likely.
he's going, which would be incredible considering he's what, I think he's just 18 as well. So yeah, another name to look out for, and someone I'm sure everyone is aware of because of us, so it's all good. And yeah, happening this week as we record, so shouts out to Emma Watson
Yeah.
upsetting second seed Yulia Putintseva in
Yeah.
Thailand. Watson's like first top 50 win since like March of last year,
Oh,
because
wow,
she
okay.
yeah she's currently ranked like in the hundreds. I think she's like 120 something at the moment,
Right.
so she's kind of working her way back up the ranking. So she played a lot of her tennis last year, like on the ITF circuit, and played like a lot of qualifying events. I think she even played, yeah, she lost in the first round of qualifying for the Australian Open this year. So she's had a tough time since like Wimbledon. I think Wimbledon, where she made the fourth round, and then yeah, after that it's been a bit tough for Heather. But yeah, nice to see her back in the winner's circle, in Thailand. So hopefully she can go far, in Thailand. And also, as we record this, Alicia Parks, she got a good win.
Leon.
Exactly, which is the WTA 250. So she beat Julia Grabher in three sets. That was a topsy-turvy match, but yeah, Parks pulled through. And she's also playing doubles in Lyon with China's Shuai
Oh, I didn't know
Zhang.
that. Okay.
They're the top seed. So I had that match on Monday whilst at work, and they lost the
Oh,
first
okay.
set. Yeah, they lost the first set, but came back and won, which was good
Oh,
to see.
nice.
So
Okay.
yeah, Parks, and I think she'll be doing that a lot this season, both playing singles and doubles.
And doubles. Okay.
So yeah, we look forward to seeing Parks, and also look out for Jasmine Paolini. So she'll be playing
Yes.
Rebecca Masarova in Lyon in the first round. And that match hasn't been played yet as we record this. So yeah, good luck to all of those players competing this week.
I
And
thought
yeah,
it was.
Lucy,
Oh, yeah, no. Okay. I thought she did. My bad.
that concludes this episode,
Yes.
which has been, yeah, an Australian Open recap, but also
Australian Open
a bit
recap.
of a Netflix breakpoint analysis.
Yes. By the way,
I
Netflix, next time, hit us up to review.
mean, yeah, it'd
You
be cool.
know.
It'd be cool.
You know.
We
We've
here.
been speaking all passive about it and shit. So
We it would be the only, like, exactly, like.
it is, yeah. Because I feel like everyone else was trying to say, like, oh yeah, there was no drama. Oh yeah, it was a
Indeed.
diary. Like, shut up. Like, you're not the target viewer. Like,
Real talk.
whatever. But it shows to you that, you know, they did their job, because like I said, those who are not tennis fans gave out positive comments. It was only tennis Twitter that was going crazy when they're forgetting you are not the target viewer. But yeah, at the end of the day, I hope it did what it did, which is bringing more, you know, exposure to our sports, because, you know, we need it. For
Indeed.
like, I don't know if you saw it, there's an article that came out that apparently like a ticket to watch to for the Australian Open, like a lot of people, they had a lot of attendees, but the viewers like one of the worst, like in terms
Oh,
of
as
like
in
people
on
watching it
TV. Oh,
on
really?
TV. Yeah, in
Oh,
Australia,
wow.
in
Okay.
Australia. So that could be another
Interesting.
topic for another day to figure
Indeed,
out
yeah.
how do we get people to watch tennis.
And
Rule
engage.
number one, do not take off WTA ATP from Amazon Prime.
Looks like it's gonna happen there, Lucy, I'm afraid. So yeah.
I'm mentally preparing myself.
Yeah. But we'll cross that bridge when
But
we
yeah.
get to it, isn't it? But yeah,
But
guys, man,
yeah.
thank you as always for listening and tuning in. And yeah, just keep an eye on all the socials as usual. Got a few things like lined up and planned for the future. So yeah, there'll be more content coming as per. But yeah,
And
until
follow us on TikTok, guys. We're finding you on TikTok.
huh? This is news to me. Oh my word.
No. I'm saying it because by the time this is up,
Okay, fair
go
play.
to open our
Just
TikTok page
opening a TikTok
and
page.
share our reel. So, guys,
Mad.
you know, we wanna let people inside our sport. We want people to know more about the black players. We're celebrating black tennis, black players in tennis. So
Real
share,
talk.
like, comment, rate, view, tell your uncle, tell your cousin, tell your haters, tell your boo, tell anybody
And
about
yeah,
black
also
sports.
shouts out
But
to all the
yeah.
people as well that have been interacting like on the socials. Like
Yeah,
I
it's
do love
actually
the
so cool.
comments. Like
Yeah.
yeah, like it's just nice to see. Like I it's funny as well. We also get a few comments saying, "Oh, we didn't know you had a podcast," like which is mad. So we need to do a better job in like promoting the
Yeah, like,
podcast,
in
which
it,
is
'cause I'm
like
out here
I feel
editing like
bad.
crazy,
I feel
guys.
bad. I need
Like, I
to.
was editing on my flight. Like, what you mean you don't know
It's
about this?
crazy.
We here, we
So
here.
yeah.
But
Yeah,
yeah,
shouts
it's
out
all
to
good.
you all. And thank you, Lucy, as well, for the incredible work you've been doing. Because, yeah, without you, none of this would be even out. So, a big, big thank you to Lucy.
So, fellas, if you see that I'm cute and I'm doing all of that, PayPal for me.
Listen, we ain't doing it, eh? We're not doing that. I'm joking.